playback on RT Radio 1. Sponsored by the all-new Irish Times Weekend. With new writers like Marion Keyes and Sean Moncrief, your weekend's in good hands.
Accents. Accents were a bit of a thing on RTE Radio this week. Chris and Kira had a competition to find the Irish county with the sexiest accent. The results were mixed.
We have a Wexford-Wicklow border accent, Kira, for Ireland. Have a listen to this.
Well, lads, here's a voice from a Wexford-Wicklow man right on the border.
Okay, I think we can both put that off the list, right?
Okay, that's
all right. So thank you for your entry. Here's one from Monaghan.
It's easy. One of the nicest accents in Ireland has to be the Monaghan accent.
I don't mind her.
No, I feel happy after listening to her.
Yeah, she's all right.
Do I feel sexy? I don't know. Do you know?
How about this guy?
How are we now? This is probably not a sexy accent.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's
that
fair.
Is very fair.
Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. At least he knew what he was getting into. How about this one? This is a guy
Atlantic
reading
rain falls.
A bottle of Ballygown that he found. Here we go.
Atlantic rain falls and takes 750 years to filter through calcium-rich limestone to join our source underground.
Mm-hmm.
We draw this naturally pure water and put it into the bottle you're holding. Ballygown, simply natural, with a unique, refreshing taste.
Uh-huh. What do we think of him? Is that a yes or a no or a maybe?
I'm sorry, Chris. I completely zoned out. What
You're saying
do?
No. Fair enough. Here's OXO cube, man.
Dissolve the cube into 450 mils of boiling water. Add the cube directly into the dish. Mix the cube with a little olive oil and rub onto me.
Chris and Kira on 2FM.
Over the course of today here in Killarney, almost 2,500 new citizens will be welcomed to our Irish family.
More accents on Drive Time, where Fergal Keane spoke to those at the citizenship ceremony in Killarney.
I plan on living here the rest of my life, so it's about time I became a citizen. I have 4 children here. We moved here because it's the best place in the world to raise children, so I'm going to be here raising them.
You became a citizen today.
Yes.
How does it feel?
Oh, lovely. I always felt Irish, but today I am Irish. I should have done this sooner, but I'm delighted. Sheena Fina
From Drive Time. The other African-Irish accents we heard during the week, however, were not so cheery.
He's preparing for his leaving cert.
This is Christine Agber here on Morning Ireland talking about her son Tiga, who had been attacked with corrosive liquid in Waterford over the weekend.
He got 1st-degree burnt on his face. It's really shocking. I'm in shock. I'm still in shock. That's it. All I have to do as a mother, I have to just lift his spirit and, you know, make him to be positive. That's it.
Christy Agber here on Morning Ireland talking about her son Tiga, one of 3 teenagers attacked with corrosive liquid in Waterford. Another of those teenagers who was attacked, Padraig Sullivan, told Áine Lawler on the News at One what it actually felt like.
It was kind of like someone just had a lighter constantly on my leg. It was just constantly burning and burning. And then after a while, it was like my body kind of numbed it, and then all the nerves, as we were told, were burnt and all that. So we couldn't really feel anything. But some of them are all starting to kind of get sore again now as they're starting to heal and that.
Padraig Sullivan from the News at One. The other significant Irish African accent heard this week was heard on Liveline. Sam is a taxi driver who featured on a widely shared dash cam video of him being abused and beaten by a passenger.
Yeah, what happened was that I pick up this guy. He said he's going to Malahide.
Uh-huh.
And in 2 minutes, he was just giving out to me unnecessarily,
okay,
which I don't take serious. And I asked him to get out of my car 3 or 4 times,
uh-huh,
but he refused to get out of the car. But on getting to Donekani, he started dragging the wheel while I was driving.
Yeah.
I tried to take control of the car so that we don't have an accident.
Yes, of course.
Then when I stopped the car, it was just hitting me. We pick a lot of people in the past that we abuse you verbally, but they never hit you. They will only talk. And I just see that as expression of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take that really serious.
And how did you manage to stay so calm, when, especially at the initial racial abuse, which was horrific, Sam? How did you manage to stay so calm?
Yeah, I think I followed the example of Jesus Christ.
Sam, from Liveline. Then there was an African woman who appeared on a TV programme about women being trafficked into Ireland. Part of her interview was played on Morning Ireland. She had thought she was coming here to work in a hospital, but instead she was taken to a brothel.
They took away everything. Passport and the bags, everything we had. So I tried to fight so hard. I was chained and I had bruises by then. I remember they bought us, how do you call them? Bikinis. You're just in the room and different men come in. They knock on your door and you can't say no. I felt betrayed, used. My pride was taken away because I was a respectable mother. I was so traumatized all my life that will I ever be able to explain this to my children? To the men, they don't know the people they are using. Let them imagine if it was their daughters or their sisters. We are all human beings with the same blood.
A woman who had been called Mary from Morning Ireland. Lost Without You by Freya Ridings, as heard on the John Creedon Show. And then there was the item on the News at One that sounded like a Liveline call. Ciarán Dineen, who's a reporter, talked to Claire Byrne about a Ryanair flight he was on.
There was several fights broke out. There was punches thrown. One man was held up to the window of the plane by his neck. So it was quite a scary experience.
And you say this was from the get-go, that as the plane was taking off, people were walking around on takeoff.
We were late taking off because people kept jumping out of their seats. Some would even shout at the stewards or give them a hand gesture to show that they weren't really interested in what they thought. But we did finally take off to the sound of dance music, which was blaring all over the plane. And when we got up in the air, the real messing really started, where huge groups congregated at both bathrooms, mainly because the drinks carts were there and they bought many, many drinks, and there was huge bottles from the duty-free were opened, bottles of rum, bottles of vodka, bottles of whiskey, and were being downed on the plane. One man walked up and down the aisle handing out a big bottle of vodka for people to take sips out of. They kept serving alcohol on the flight for an hour and a half, and despite it being obvious that it was an issue considering there was so much alcohol already on people.
Ciarán Dineen from the News at One, and then Liveline itself turned into a news programme.
Just breaking news from the courts. Patrick Quirk has been found guilty of murdering Bobby Ryan. Barry Cummins of Prime Time has been following the trial. Barry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What happened in the last few minutes?
Just in the last few minutes, the foreman of the jury told the court that by a majority verdict of 10-2, the jury had found Patrick Quirk guilty of the murder of Bobby Ryan. There was complete silence in the courtroom, a packed courtroom. This is a case which is so unusual in so many ways, but absolutely barren, forensically barren. Mm-hmm. A case based and built entirely on circumstantial evidence.
Later, barrister Irene Sands talked on Drive Time about that evidence.
Really what made it so exceptional was that we had so many different strands of circumstantial evidence. So juries are very carefully warned that you shouldn't convict on one piece alone. But what this case had, and I think Michael Bowman, who was prosecuting, very eloquently kind of tidied it up. And he said, there's so many different strands. And if you compare it to a rope, each one together doesn't really say a whole lot. But when you weave them together and you fuse them together, it's what you can take from that whole picture. And really, I think that's what the jury gave very considerable weight to. I mean, they were in excess of 20 hours deliberating it. They took every single piece of evidence and weighed it up. And ultimately, they were able to feel that when you tied them all together, they were satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt that it was a murder.
Barrister Irene Sands talking about the Quirk case on Drive Time, a case in which the trial system seems to have worked. At the end of the week, though, there was another court case where the system was accused of being highly inappropriate. Ruth Morrissey and her husband were awarded €2 million because her smear tests were incorrectly reported. Because of that, she was not treated in time for cancer and has now been given a short time to live.
What can I say
I didn't think I'd be in this position because our Taoiseach told us that none of us would have to go through this. But unfortunately, I'm the one who had to. So I hope that's a positive thing for the women who are left, that they don't need to do this. I just want to move on and spend whatever quality time I've left with my daughter. I'd like to thank Cian and all my legal team for being very supportive.
That Cian Ruth Morrissey referred to as Cian O'Carroll's solicitor. He spoke to Sean O'Rourke.
Today she came to court with a crutch. People may have seen photographs of Ruth previously coming to court when she was giving evidence, and indeed when the HSE brought her back to be cross-examined on a third occasion, just to give a sense of the vigour with which the state defended this case. And if we go back to what the Taoiseach had said a year ago, when he said that no woman would have to go to court and do what Ruth Morrissey has had to do in a nearly 40-day trial, he indicated that it will be avoided by the state taking responsibility for the errors, dealing with those women and pursuing the labs for the cost. He then shied away from that, obviously, and caused all of this distress for the last year. But that's what the High Court has said today can and should be done.
Cian O'Carroll, Ruth Morrissey's solicitor, speaking on Today with Sean O'Rourke. Now, most of us don't turn on the radio at the beginning of programmes or interviews, and there were a couple of times this week when turning on halfway through an interview made it impossible to turn off. For example, a man named Grant Dennis was on Morning Ireland, and it sounded like he was talking about a new religion.
You know, they're given a copy of what our core values are.
Grant Dennis actually runs a house building company in Australia.
In order to make sure that the employees understand our values and accept our values, my father sits down with the new employees and explains to them the history of where he came from. He had a very poor upbringing. Got his first pair of shoes when he was 8 years old and his first pair of underpants when he was 13. He lived in a tent on one of the rivers in Melbourne with a single mum who lost two husbands in the war. He lost his father at 3 years of age. So those sorts of things when we induct the employees in when they first join the business. And then through the course of the year, we just continually reinforce our values.
Grant Dennis on Morning Ireland. And then Jacqueline Murray was on the News at One. She mentioned first times for children on a sports pitch.
When kids caught the ball for the first time or ran and kicked the ball for the first time and looked up to see the parents, the parents weren't watching them, they were watching their phones.
Because of this, organisers of the nursery got together to get a new sign made.
The sign just says, Navan O'Mahony's Pride of Cubs, which is our nursery, is a phone-free zone. During this 1 hour, please put your phone away, watch your child learn a new skill and play.
Jacqueline Murray from the News at One, and Ray Darcy couldn't keep a straight face at this one.
Unfortunately, you know, wasn't very nice to her sister and there was, and actually killed her sister, unfortunately. Oh, but
Marion Kelly was telling Ray about a guinea pig at the new urban farm in Dublin.
So she had to be rehomed. So she had to have a safe place.
Sorry,
she now gets on with the rabbit.
So you've a killer. You've a killer guinea pig on the farm.
Yeah. Well, she's not a killer, but I think she just had problems, and you know, hopefully, but you know, like there's lots of reasons people have to rehome their animals. Yes. There really is.
Yeah. Oh, what's the guinea pig called?
Peanut,
right.
A real name for a killer. From the Ray Darcy Show. And then there was the interview that opened with a line that could have opened a short story, and it was this.
Yeah, so I was just there and this woman came up and tapped me on the shoulder.
Mike Moriarty was tapped on the shoulder while he was having a pint in a hotel on Valentia Island.
She said that she might have seen something go into the water, and I looked out the window and I couldn't see anything. And I walked outside and I just saw there was a car in the water filling up. So I went down and I looked, see if there was someone in it, and there was an old couple inside there. So I took my phone and my wallet out of my pocket and jumped into the water. It was maybe chest high, and tried opening the driver door, but I couldn't open it because obviously the water was keeping it shut. So the back door was kind of open a bit more, or it was out of the water a bit, so I was able to open that, and water flooded into the car then, and it kind of equalized the pressure. And then I was able to open the front door and pull the two people out, an old elderly couple maybe in their late 70s, early 80s.
Mike, were you out of your depth? I mean, this car was filling up fast with water.
It was up to just kind of my upper chest.
Yeah.
So I was able to stand, okay.
But there was no way they'd have gotten out of that car without your help?
No, I'd say not, because I couldn't even open the door from the outside, and until I opened the back door and it kind of equalised it, and then I could open the front door once there was enough water in the car.
You saved their lives. You're a hero. How does that sit on your shoulders?
I'm sure anyone else would have done the same.
Mike Moriarty, hero, from Drive Time on Tuesday on Radio 1.
I have a meeting. Shea Burns like that too. Isn't that right, Shea?
On Wednesday, Radio 1 wandered into Lyric FM in the shape of Shea Byrne. He came into Marty Whelan's studio to wish Lyric a happy 20th birthday.
Come here, can I ask you a question? Because you've a lovely complexion. Do you put on the makeup in the morning?
No, I have somebody come in to do it.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Because I often wondered how you maintained that boyish, youthful look.
A mortuary assistant, they call them.
Is that what they call them? So it's
paste.
And again, of course, your face doesn't move, which is fantastic.
Botox.
Apparently it's quite popular.
Moore Street.
In the industry.
It's available on Moore Street.
You're joking.
$9.99, yeah.
$9.99. You get the apples, a bit of fruit, and then
Botox. But you have to ask for the apples and the fruit beforehand. Otherwise,
they're in the basket.
You can't move I'm a regular listener, and I want to say congratulations.
I'm a very thoughtful man.
And I know a lot of people listen to me till 7 o'clock, and then they switch over.
Not a lot, in fairness.
I come in here trying to be nice.
This level of optimism has got to stop.
I come in here to be nice.
And I'm gratefully accepting the niceness.
And I transfer over at least 7 listeners to you.
I hang on to them like a mad thing.
All morning, Marty was getting good wishes from the listeners.
Happy birthday, 20 years, eh? Thank you for the soothing voice, says Lynn from Doki. Thank you, Lynn.
Lyric's listeners may be glad of the soothing voice. But at the same time, over on the children's station RTE Junior, the listeners to Early Birds get someone who's motoring in a much higher gear.
Good morning!
Ray Cudahy.
Good morning! Oh yeah, now I'm smiling! Yeah! Now you try it. Hey, that's sounding pretty good.
Ray Cudahy, effervescent on RTE Junior.
All right, we just have a few more songs.
And then shortly after that, they played possibly the most bizarre song heard on RTE this week.
Go and hush the baby, it's what my mama said. The baby.
It's entitled Go and Hush the Baby by Tor Hyams.
I went to the baby's room, said, baby, don't you cry. But baby didn't listen, so I sang a lullaby. I bounced her in my arms, I sat her in a chair. I caught her almost every time I threw her in the air. But baby kept on crying, oh, I couldn't make her stop. I tried to make her burp, but baby just would not. I thought perhaps I'd wash her, her smell was hard to stand. I grabbed my nose and changed her clothes, that's how it all began. Well, I was washing baby when baby disappeared. I don't know how it happened, but I know it sure sounds weird. A hand came up from in the pipe and pulled her down the drain. And now it seems that baby will not be seen again. There is no trace of baby now, there is no residue. Just a piece of broken soap and a bottle of shampoo.
Go and Hush the Baby by Tor Hyams, a nonsense song from the Early Birds programme on RTE Junior.
Playback on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Times Weekend Edition. Your weekend's in good hands with our sumptuous food features, intrepid travel stories and engrossing sports coverage.
It was a pretty good week for live music on RTE Radio. For example, Tracy Clifford on 2FM had Irish group The Pillow Queens singing live in studio.
I got no reason to be feeling like you're mine for the next 4 seasons. Let it die, let it die. I can't help hoping that you think I'm really nice. Want some brief hand holding on the sly, on the sly. Hey, you can say it. I'm your favorite. Hey, you can say it. I'm your favorite.
Pillow Queens on the Tracy Clifford Show on 2FM. And then there was Conor O'Gallagher. He came into the Ronan Bio studio on Radio Na Gaeltachta.
Y como me duele la vida entera, el médico me ha dicho, pongan en dicho la verdad más verdadera, que llegue tal nicho, que cada dolor nuevo le busque un placebo. A mi burro le duele el amor, porque nadie le quiere, solo le quiero yo, a mí la pena me saludo cuando mamá me está riendo de remiendo que llega el corazón. A mi burro le duele el amor, porque nadie le quiere, solo le quiero yo, a mí la pena me saludo cuando mamá me está riendo de remiendo tengo yo un corazón. Chimpón.
Ah, hondo, hondo, bueno.
Conor O'Gallagher, just one man and his guitar in the Radio Na Gaeltachta studio in Donegal. Lyric FM, however, were at the other end of the scale. Their studio for Wednesday night was the National Concert Hall, and they wheeled in the RTE National Symphony Orchestra, a few singers and a harpist. The occasion was the Lyric FM birthday gala. For the concert, the station commissioned new pieces of music from Irish composers. This is Gialon, written by Ryan Malloy and performed by the RTE NSO and harpist Anne-Marie O'Farrell. Gialon, written by Ryan Malloy and performed by harpist Anne-Marie O'Farrell and the RTE National Symphony Orchestra at the Gala Concert for Lyric FM's 20th birthday on Wednesday. Other anniversaries this week were this one.
I have to say happy anniversary to Riverdance today, guys.
2FM's Breakfast Republic. Riverdance was introduced at the 1994 Eurovision by Cynthia Niwuruku and the late 2FM presenter Gerry Ryan, whose daughter Lottie is now one of the presenters of Breakfast Republic.
So, you know. Exactly.
And today is his anniversary.
Oh, thanks, Keith.
I just thought, nice.
Lottie, don't
I'm messing, I'm messing, I'm messing. It's dead dad day, yeah.
Lottie Ryan.
How many years?
He's dead 9 years.
Wow.
Isn't that mad?
Crazy, isn't
it? It is crazy. Does it seem like yesterday or does it... Do you feel the time?
I think it feels like a long time ago in the sense that I feel, and I know I haven't spoken to him in a long time, but in other ways it feels like yesterday. Like, I don't think it would be too crazy if he came in here.
Yeah.
If he walked in the door.
Clearly that's not happening.
Yeah.
But
except like, you're not getting that time slot back, Jerry. I'm sorry, I haven't signed the contract.
That'd be some show though, wouldn't it?
He'd punch it and say that was meant for Lottie.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Oh. Yeah. I'd be like, take it. You take it.
It would be some show though if we were able to just go, He's
here.
Back. Oh, take him up.
From Breakfast Republic on 2FM, Gerry Ryan remembered in the sort of inappropriate way he would have approved of. And yet another anniversary being marked this week is the centenary of the birth of piper, folklore collector and radio man Seamus Ennis. Now, like Gerry Ryan, Seamus Ennis loved a good story. But whereas the stories usually came into Gerry in studio or down the phone line, Seamus had to go out and look for his.
At times during my push bike days, I was obliged to leave my machine at the house of friendly people.
This is from Sunday Night's Rolling Wave. On one occasion in the 1930s in Connemara, Seamus borrowed a rowboat to head out to Finnish Island, where he wanted to visit the home of a family named McDonough.
Where songs and tunes, lilts and lore abounded, as did food and tea, fortune-telling from cards and tea leaves, and a pleasant content in welcome. From all that abundance, I'm picking on one now which surprised me in that it was the basic origin of a big piper's jig, the phrase breeches. Who is that there that's knocking the ditches down? Who is that there that's knocking the ditches down? Who is that there that's knocking the ditches down? Nobody, only Cornla. Cornla, dear, don't come any nearer me. Cornla, dear, don't come any nearer me. Cornla, dear, don't come any nearer me. Maybe I shouldn't say Cornla. A learned note on this song, which I've seen in an archive, concludes, this is but a fragment of the song, in the final stages of which Cornla's approach must have become very intimate indeed. What vivid imagination.
Who was that there? No knock on the window pane. Who was that there? No knock on the window pane. Who was that there? No knock on the window pane. Oh, and me, it says Cornla. Cornla, dear, don't come any near to me. Cornla, dear, don't come any near to me. Cornla, dear, don't come any near to me. Maybe I shouldn't say Cornla.
Kirsty Moore and Planxty singing Cornla from the Rolling Wave programme on Seamus Ennis on Sunday night. And Kirsty Moore was heard on Thursday on Radio 1 because of something that happened on Wednesday afternoon during drive time.
I don't know why I decided to ride him today and not Bell's Hill. And why I rode Bell's Hill in the Gold Cup, they're just decisions you have to make, but I got it right today.
That was Ruby Walsh there, and you just heard him after a great commentary.
Andrew O'Connor was doing the sports news.
By the time I left the office upstairs, walked down the stairs, down to the studio, there was some other big news from Punchestown. Let's go live now to the second day of the festival and get the bigger news than the Gold Cup with Padraig Lodge.
Yes, Andrew, after the Gold Cup, Ruby Walsh went into the winner's enclosure and an interview on the course with Brendan McArdle announced that he was retiring with immediate effect at the age of 40. He said he felt the time was right, it was his local track, and there were highly emotional scenes as he was joined by his father Ted, wife Gillian and children, and received a huge round of applause from the racecourse and attendance here at Punchestown. And I think he broke down essentially in the course of the interview, quite emotional, and he's still receiving handshakes from the crowd. The jockeys came out, his fellow jockeys from the weigh room, to give him an impromptu guard of honour as he came away from the parade ring. But he's
a little later on 2FM in the Game On programme, RTE racing analyst Jane Mangan was being interviewed.
A bit shell-shocked, Damien, I won't lie. The atmosphere around here is just unbelievable, and it's one of those days where you're going to remember, you're going to look back and think, I was there.
It's funny, I saw someone tweet, I can't credit who it was, but that it went from being basically like a wedding to a funeral in the space of a couple of minutes, as this is the end of a massive, massive era.
He's the Holy Grail, and it's not an over-exaggeration. The man was, in my eyes, the best we'll ever see. It's the rider that can win on horses that should never win. And that's what he could do.
Jane Mangan on Game On 2FM on Wednesday night. And the next day, Ronan Collins could play only one song.
There's Bethlehem and Cheltenham and Lourdes and Limerick Junction. The trip to Mingingoria, a rub of the extra motion. Good people playing Kirkpatrick with serenity on their faces. But Ruby Walsh, she saved me life below at the Galway races. Ruby held her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. They're understarters, arthurs, Ted Walsh is coming ten. Ruby's up in the favour, she'll take some betting. Necks are craned and eyes are strained, there's fear upon the faces. There's agony and ecstasy below at the Galway races. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go.
Kirsty Moore with the Ballad of Ruby Walsh is heard on the Ronan Collins Show on Radio 1 after Ruby announced his retirement.
Concussion, broken collarbone, broken right arm, dislocated shoulder.
On Today with Sean O'Rourke, Ruby talked about his injuries and physical versus emotional pain.
It's much easier to push yourself for 5 or 6 minutes through physical pain than it is to sit and watch a race you could have ridden in or should have ridden in, but you weren't willing to push yourself. To me, physical pain was always way easier to manage than the disappointment and the anger of watching something that you should have been doing.
Ruby Walsh with Sean O'Rourke. Actually, Ruby wasn't the only sportsman to retire on Wednesday. Dublin footballer Paul Flynn also announced his retirement. On the Game On programme, he spoke to Damien O'Mara about when the decision really hit him. And as he said himself, it was a very modern response.
I waited until I knew that the training was over and I fired across a text to the overall squad, and then I just left the group, and it's, you know, actually probably the most emotional I was over the course of the last 48 hours was when I did that, because you know, that was a real kind of feeling of you are leaving. And it's funny that in the modern era, that's what it feels like to leave, is when you're actually leaving the WhatsApp group. It was quite emotional.
Just retired Dublin footballer Paul Flynn on Game On and 2FM. And RTE Sport provided one of the best discussions on radio this week. Darren Frehill spoke to three women involved in men's sports, and it was kind of inspiring because the points they made and the stories they told were really all about finding self-belief. For example, rugby referee Joy Neville told how she was being asked to train as a referee for the senior men's game. She rang a man whose opinion she respected and asked him what he thought of the chances of a woman being able to referee at that level.
And he said, "Joy, not in my lifetime." And this man was in his mid-50s. And I said, "OK, fair enough." And I respected his opinion, and that was his opinion. And I put the phone down and I picked it up to Dave McHugh and I said, I'm in, you know.
Joy Neville. And Mayo County player Fiona McHale also got a call. And this was to agree to coach a men's Gaelic football team.
Straight away, I was like, not a hope. When I got off the phone, my gut was telling me that I really, really wanted to do it, you know. Over the past number of years, the women's game has got, you know, more scrutiny and a little bit more analysis, but you won't have that level of analysis that you have the men's game. And I did feel a sense of responsibility too, that when he did ask me, I felt if I say no to this, you know, he's thought outside the box really in this situation, and he's asked me to do this. And if I say no to this, it could be another year, it could be another 2 years before someone else within a club asks another female, would they like to take on this role?
Fiona McHale. Then League of Ireland soccer coach Lisa Fallon told about a visit to Iceland in preparation for an international match.
And I was introduced to the opposition manager, and he asked me if I was the travel agent. And so I just said, sort of. And I said, is it all right if I go down and have a look at the pitch and stuff, just to see, you know, what the surface is like and what kind of footwear the lads would need for that particular pitch? And he was like, yes, of course, don't mind us, we're training. And, like, they were practising their set pieces. And this was 4 days before we played them.
So you got all that insight.
But like, that was what I mean. Like, and I suppose in some respects I was kind of going, should I say, you know, hang on, look, stop, lads, do you know what? I'm actually the analyst here. But then I was thinking, you know, like, you can make a decision to allow yourself to be offended or to feel that you've been belittled. But I think you're giving a margin away if you do that. And for me, I was like, well, do you know what? I'm here. I've been authentic. You know I'm here. You just assume that all I could be is a travel agent. That's you giving me a margin. If you're going to give me that margin, do you know what? I'm going to take it. And at the end of the day, when we were in Turner's Cross then afterwards, playing the game, he came over and he goes, he saw me obviously on the pitch, and he goes, "Ah, Miss Fallon, you are not the travel agent, you are the spy."
Lisa Fallon, League of Ireland soccer coach, and the rugby referee Joy Neville said that as a woman, she's had some pretty unpleasant encounters, but values them.
I remember I went to do an under-20s game in Donnybrook, and I walked into the change room and I spoke to the front row, as you do. And one of the players kept laughing. And I've never been so angry at myself for not having enough respect for myself to approach the situation and stand up for myself. I didn't. I allowed him laugh, and I've quickly finished my conversation with the front row, and I went out and I was warming up, and I could have kicked myself. And I said to myself, I've made a promise, I'd never allow that happen again. And a couple of months later, a similar circumstance, walked into the change room and one of the lads kept laughing. I said, right, I have you. Same thing's not going to happen here. And do you know when you're in school and the teacher gives you that silent treatment and you hate it and there's this silence? And I used it and it worked so well. And I just remained silent and I stared at that individual and he went as red as a strawberry and all the players around started laughing at him. And I said, OK, let's continue. Moved on and did the game and had respect from the players. And I think if not for what had happened a couple of months prior, I wouldn't have learned on how to deal with the situation and how to have more respect for myself.
Joy Neville with Lisa Fallon and Fiona McHale talking to Darren Frehill on Sunday Sport on Radio 1. And I'll put a link to that interview on the playback page on rte.ie. Listening to those women prompts you to think that you can't put a price on that kind of involvement. But in an interview on Morning Ireland during the week, that was proved wrong. The Nafina GAA club in Dublin are under threat from the construction of the new Metrolink. They've tried to argue that the benefit they provide as a sporting organisation to North Dublin is important. And they came across a way of measuring that in money terms. It's called social value. So they commissioned a report which took account of all the inputs and outputs in the club, monetary and voluntary. Cormac O'Donoghue from Na Fianna told Brian Dobson about the survey.
The figures themselves indicate that during the year, we as a local club delivered 50 million of social value to our local community. That really equates for the inputs and outputs that we did. For every euro invested in Na Fianna, the 15 euros of social value was returned.
So
it's a 15 to 1 ratio.
There is hard cash obviously going into the club.
Absolutely, but the majority of inputs are non-monetary. So in other words, like all volunteer organisations, not just our GA clubs, but like all volunteer organisations throughout the country, the lifeblood of what we do is our volunteers' time.
The number of hours, the man and woman hours that are put into all the work that goes on in the club.
We calculate there was 103,300 man and women hours expended in volunteer effort during the year in question.
Cormac O'Donoghue from Na Fianna GA Club on Morning Ireland talking about their social value report. Such social value was well represented in Countrywide on Saturday. Writer Seamus O'Rourke, for example, told how his local Machra in Leitrim hosted the ploughing one year. Volunteers organised everything, including a public address system.
Could all babies under the age of one please come to the main gate to be judged for the nicest baby competition? The sheaf thrown owing to the large entry will now be split in two. For those hoping to use the loo, we're going al fresco, but please do it out of view. There's a man with a video camera going round, try and look normal and don't be gawking. The drag hunt and the guests, the cow, are starting now over there by the trees, and teas are available from the shop, and could them lads shaking the caravan please stop? Thank you.
Part of Seamus O'Rourke's piece on Countrywide. In the same programme, John Cook visited Milltown Malbay, where they have a men-only book club.
I enjoyed the book in one respect. I found it a very odd book. Long sentences were ridiculous and he seemed short of full stops.
We call ourselves Clancy's Men's Book Club because it's in Clancy's and we're men. Most of the other book clubs do entertainment in their own houses. And that wasn't something myself or John felt we wanted to be doing. We didn't want to have to tidy the house if we had people coming around, so we felt men would be more comfortable in a pub. Gives us an excuse to go for the pint.
Well, we've kind of tuned ourselves now to ignoring what the media tell us is a good book and what isn't a good book. Bestseller and all the rest of it, and then we get down to it, quite an amount of time is pure trite. I pride myself in the fact that we're a little bit more independent-minded and we treat them all fairly well and give them a good crucifying, as Donald will tell you there.
Is that trite with a shirt?
The Milltown Malbay Men Only Book Club. And that description of pure trite might be applied to a new vegan sausage roll by some farmers in Tuam Mart. Mike McCartney was there for drive time to ask them their opinion on the latest non-meat meat product on sale.
Well, I think it might be a good idea on an odd occasion, if you're in that way inclined. But I notice a lot of young people nowadays, they're dying young. They're dying around 40, 50. What about your bodybuilders? Meat, milk, eggs, cheese and fish. First-class proteins. They're absolutely essential in the body.
Going back generations, they heard about it. They've been turning their grave now. It's pure other rubbish. Absolutely. Now, time will tell in a couple of years down the road, those vegans, how their health will be. That's when we'll really find out what's behind it. Yeah, but they're really hunting down the farmer big time, this beef thing, which is very, very, very unfair what's happening. And of course, the bit of beef, very important to you, but your potato, and I don't think it ever killed anybody.
Farmers in Tuam Mart telling Mike McCartney how they feel about the new vegan sausage roll for sale that was on drive time. Of course, the move away from meat is part of a story that's on radio more and more these days, that of the changing planet. On the News at One, for example, Dr. Kieran Byrne of Inland Fisheries Ireland told Áine Lawler that the numbers of salmon returning to Ireland has collapsed.
At the peak levels around 1975, we reckon about 1.6 million fish were coming back. During the 1991 to 2000 period, so there's about a decade there, was hovering along a line of about 500,000 fish. And in the last 5 to 7 years, maybe 10 years, we're hovering around 250 to 300,000 fish. So of 100 fish that went out, only 3 to 4 came back.
Dr. Kieran Byrne from Inland Fisheries Ireland on the News at One. And on Drive Time, Philip Boucher-Hayes read a draft UN report on the impact of human activity on the Earth's species.
The report warns of an imminent rapid acceleration in the global rate of species extinction. The pace of loss is already tens to hundreds of times higher than it has been on average over the last 10 million years.
Now, statistics are often hard to follow on the radio, but not in this case.
A quarter of known animal and plant species are already being crowded, eaten, or poisoned out of existence. Worrying in itself, but the report also points out that 4 billion humans rely on natural medicines, and more than 75% of global food crops require animal pollination. The drop in sheer numbers of animals is even more dramatic, says the report, with the collective weight of wild mammals down by 82% in the industrialised period. 95% of what is left is made up of human beings and the livestock that we farm.
Philip Boucher-Hayes from DriveTime on the draft UN report on biodiversity.
Playback on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Times Weekend Edition. Your weekend's in good hands with our sumptuous food features, intrepid travel stories and engrossing sports coverage.
It was a week of contrasting scripted pieces on the radio. Olivia O'Leary was commenting on the recent report on the mother and baby homes and the fact that so many babies are unidentified.
Her name was Bridget. She was the baby before me. I've often wondered whether the gap she left in the family created extra space and welcome for me. I've often felt a bit guilty about that. She was stillborn. My mother sent for the local curate, but he sent word back that he had no business with a stillborn baby. Only a live baby could receive the sacrament of baptism. So my mother baptised the baby herself at home, and my father buried her under the cover of darkness in our grandparents' grave 3 miles away. It haunted my mother at the end of her life that the child's name wasn't on the gravestone, so my brother had it done. When we visited now, it matters that she has her official place in our family, safe in the arms of her grandparents.
Olivia O'Leary from her Drive Time column. On Miscellany 50, Liddy Carroll wrote about being in a local children's choir in the 1950s. They got the chance to go and sing in Wales at the Eisteddfod Music and Poetry Festival.
Willing volunteers sewed our uniforms of green waistcoats, green ties and green pleated skirts, just in case anyone would doubt our nationality.
1950s Wales was exotic and exciting, and all went well until the closing ceremony.
We stood to attention with thousands of others for the Welsh national anthem. Unfortunately, they ended the proceedings with God Save the Queen. And our choirmaster's wife, who up until then had been a kindly, motherly figure to us all, suddenly became a raving Republican, gave us a hefty shove and shouted, "Move, girls, move!"
Liddy Carroll from Miscellany 50 on Radio 1. And on Sunday Miscellany, Chris McCallum, who used to act in the TV soap EastEnders, wrote about being famous. The place he's most recognised is the airport, which on one occasion turned out to be pretty lucky.
I'd been sitting down for no more than 5 minutes when another member of the ground staff crouched at my side and asked discreetly, "Fancy an upgrade?" I didn't try to hide my delight. "Yes," I said, "that would be great." On the other side of the concourse, he opened an unmarked door, ushered me inside and let it swing silently shut.
The only problem was, once Chris was installed with a glass of champagne in first class, he realised that the cabin crew actually thought he was someone else. Not an actor, but a pop star.
"When are you going to bring out another album?"
And they weren't making it obvious who they thought he was.
"You haven't been on Top of the Pops in ages."
Finally, one of the hostesses started to sing one of Chris's supposed songs.
"Come on, Eileen, oh, I swear, well, he means..." They thought I was Kevin Rowland. They thought I was Kevin Rowland, the lead singer of Dixie's Midnight Runners.
Chris had to decide, own up and leave first class, or play along.
"If I could write a few more like that," I said and tried to laugh. She joined in. "You'd probably own a plane like this," she looked around, "instead of just riding on one." I stretched my legs out and realised as I did so just how far away the seat in front really was. I took another sip of champagne. "Well," I said, "obviously that's the plan."
Chris McCallum from Sunday Miscellany. Finally, on the birthday station Lyric FM, Aideen Gormley played Elaine Stritch from a recording of her one-woman show. Elaine Stritch was a star of Broadway and London's West End, and this recording is from 2002, when she was 77.
Not long ago, I was talking to Stephen Sondheim about his song, I'm Still Here. I told him that I had heard women in their 60s sing I'm Still Here, 50s even, and a couple of times in their 40s. I'm still here. Where have they been? I mean, it's ridiculous. And so I told him that, not that he asked me or anything, but I told him that I would never touch that song until I was, what, 80 years old. That makes sense to me. 80, I'm still here. But, you know, it is such a great song. I'm not going to wait 20 years to sing it. What are you laughing at? Good times and bum times, I've seen them all, and my dear, I'm still here. Plush velvet sometimes, sometimes just pretzels and beer.
Elaine Stritch from Music and Musicals on Lyric FM. And that's it for this week. Playback will be back again with the podcast version next Friday afternoon and the broadcast version next Saturday morning. And to those of you who sent your suggestions to playback@rte.ie, thank you. Until next week, slán.